Na yasya chitam bahir arti vibraman tamo guhayam cha bishuddham abhishat yad bhakti yoga anugrihita manjasa munir vichaste nanu tatra te gatim Naitis.
The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam prasangam mamasu virya samvido bhavanti hritkanada sayana katha tajjo sanad asvapavargavartmani shradharatir bhakti anukramishyati. Simply by association of pure devotees, one can understand the transcendental name, fame, quality, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has repeatedly said, sadhu sangha sarva sastre koi, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoi. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu Sangha, or association with a devotee, means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and by acting for Krishna. Specifically, chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra purifies one. And this chanting is therefore recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Cheto Dharapana Marajanam. By chanting the names of Krishna, the mirror of the heart is cleansed, and the devotee loses interest in everything external. When one is influenced by the external energy of the Lord, his heart is impure. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetara. He whose heart is purified can see the whole cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he whose heart is contaminated sees things differently. Therefore, by satsanga, or association with devotees, one becomes perfectly pure in heart. One who is pure in heart is never attracted by the external energy, which urges the individual soul to try to dominate material nature. The pure heart of a devotee is never disturbed. When he executes devotional service in the form of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. In all, there are 9 processes one can follow in the execution of devotional service. In any case, a pure-hearted devotee is never disturbed. The bhakti yoga process must be carried out by avoiding the 10 offenses one can commit while chanting the Maha Mantra, and the 64 offenses one can commit while worshiping the deity. When a devotee strictly follows the rules and regulations Bhakti Devi becomes very much satisfied with him. And at the time, he is never disturbed. At that time, he is never disturbed by anything external. A devotee is also called a muni. The word muni means thoughtful. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. The non-devotee's speculation is impure, but a devotee's thoughts are pure. Lord Kapila and Shukadev Goswami are also called Muni, and Vyasadeva is addressed as Mahamuni. A devotee is addressed as Muni or thoughtful when he purely understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that when one's heart is purified by the association of devotees and by the avoidance of the offenses committed when chanting and worshiping the Lord, the transcendental name, form, and attributes of the Lord are revealed by the Lord. The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like a dark well. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. We are reading from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 24, entitled The Chanting of the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, Text 59. In the previous slokas, Lord Shiva is praising the importance of the association of devotees. In the previous verse, he concludes, "I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees." Lord Shiva is one of the great Mahajans. Mahajans are those advanced, pure personalities who the Lord reveals the path of perfection through. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Lord Chaitanya declared in relation to Madhavendra Puri that one cannot understand the true essence of spiritual perfection by austerities, by meditation, even by studying all of the scriptures scrutinizing. Because there are so many ways to interpret anything within this world. The real path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of pure devotees. Their life and their words represent the essence of all knowledge. Thus, Mahajano yena gata sapanta. How does the great soul speak? How do the great souls eat? How do the great souls walk? How do they sit? What do they live for? What is their ideal and purpose in life? These are questions that Arjuna asked Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Very important. As has been explained many times, Bhagavad Gita is one of the most common books in the world, in India as well as abroad. Yet, hardly anyone has understood the simple purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Man manabhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru. To surrender to Krishna, to become his devotee, to worship him. This is clearly what Krishna tells throughout Gita. I am the source of everything, all material and spiritual worlds. There is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearl strung on a thread. But yet, in practically all the commentaries of Bhagavad Gita, there is minimal significance to Krishna. He just happens to be a great person speaking. But is he the goal? Is he the source? Very few people, even in this land of India, understand this. Why? Mahajano yena katasa panta. Because unless you hear from the proper source, unless you hear from someone in the parampara who is actually dedicating his life according to the teachings of Gita, the true understanding does not awaken in our heart. Lord Shiva is herein longing for the association of devotees. He considers the ultimate benediction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the opportunity to associate with pure devotees. He is Mahadev, the greatest of the devatas. He's speaking these words for everyone's benefit. He's also speaking his own heart. Just like in Vrindavan, there are many very important temples of Lord Shiva. In fact, the great grandson of Krishna, Vajranab, he installed several very, very historical lingams of Lord Shiva that are presiding in various sectors of Braj Dham. There is Bhuteshwar Mahadev in Mathura, Kamsa. Kamsa worshipped Lord Shiva in that place for the benediction to kill Krishna. Kamsa was a devotee of Lord Shiva. He gained the power of 10,000 elephants by the grace of Lord Shiva. But he was threatened by that omen that came in the sky that the eighth son of Devaki would be the cause of his death. So he lived, he breathed with the ideal of killing Krishna. Even though he was the king, he couldn't enjoy anything because prominent within his mind was that this personality is going to kill me and everything will be gone. Actually, in the material world, there can be no real enjoyment because real enjoyment means wholehearted, complete, saturated in enjoyment. That can only come from the level of the soul, because the soul is the real person, and the soul is longing for that which is eternal, because the soul is eternal. But within every pleasure of this world, there's dangers. There's the imminent end of this pleasure, either through the power of time
or Adiatmaka, Adidaivaka, Adibhautaka. So although Kamsa was such a demoniac person, he imprisoned his own father, he killed his own relatives, his own nephews, just to enjoy. And he had the palace, he had the armies, he had the treasury, he had everything, but he couldn't enjoy because he knew within his mind that this personality, the eighth child of Devaki, is going to kill me. Therefore, all this that I'm trying to enjoy will be dragged away from me. In fact, Narada Muni told him that you had position of a very great king and previously as Kalanemi, and Krishna killed you then, he took everything away, and he's come back to kill you again. Hare Krishna. So he couldn't enjoy. Because fear, dukalaya mashashvatam, this material world cannot be a happy place. It is essentially a miserable place because everything is temporary. So Kamsa worshipped Lord Shiva, Bhuteshwar Mahadev. He worshipped Lord Shiva. Why? Because he wanted the power to kill Krishna. And Lord Shiva must have been simultaneously pleased and displeased. He was displeased because Mahadev's worshipable deity is Krishna. He's Gopeshwar Mahadev. Previous to Kamsa's demise, Lord Shiva had already come to Vrindavan wanting to enter into Raslila. He approached Lalita Sakhi and other gopis knowing that he had to get their blessings to enter. Only female can enter into the nocturnal lila of the Lord. So after performing some tapasya, he received the instruction that he go to Mansarovar. And at Mansarovar, he entered into those sacred waters which were created by Srimati Radharani's tears of separation from Krishna. And coming, those waters were so potent with her love that one who bathes in them becomes influenced, saturated with her love. So he came out in the form of a gopi, really the perfection of all his desires. Now he is Gopeshwar. And he returned to the Rasastali, and Braj Gopi said, your service is to guard this Vamsibat area. Only those who have completely pure hearts following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan are allowed entrance. So his desires were fulfilled. So therefore, Gopeshwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva, his ultimate meditation is meditating on the beautiful pastimes of Krishna with his gopis and with Sri Radharani. And here, across the river Jamuna, is Kamsa, who is worshiping Lord Shiva with sacrifices, with wealth, with great, great determination, a type of devotion. And he's begging Lord Shiva to give him the power to kill Krishna, his Ishtadev. So by Lord Shiva's causeless mercy on Kamsa, Krishna killed him. Hare Krishna. Very nice. He is Ashutosh. He is easily satisfied. Kamsa asked for something which was impossible. So Lord Shiva actually gave him a benediction by which he would get liberated. That is his mercy, a type of mercy Kamsa could not understand at the time. Similarly, at Kamyavan, there's a murti of Lord Shiva, Kameshwar Mahadev. And that murti, in that place, it is explained, Kirtida and Brishabhanu used to go to worship Lord Shiva, that the Supreme Goddess of Fortune would become their daughter, Srimati Radharani. And in Nandagaon, Nandeshwar Mahadev, Parjanya, the father of Nanda Maharaj, he worshipped that deity every day with great, great, great pure devotion, with the hope that his son Nanda Maharaj would have a son, Krishna. In fact, Lord Shiva is such a devotee that he wanted to participate in Krishna's lila. So he begged for the benediction that he could support, facilitate all the devotees enjoying wonderful pastimes with Lord Sri Krishna and Balaram. Therefore, the benediction he asked for from Krishna was that he could become a mountain, Nandeshwar, the five-headed mountain of Nandeshwar, in which Krishna, to reciprocate with the love of his devotee, put his house on top of Lord Shiva's head. And Krishna, Balaram, Gopas, and Radharani and Gopis would come each day, and they would perform their pastimes, dancing and singing and herding the cows and the calves, all on top of Lord Shiva's heads. That is his devotion. Always eager to serve the servants of the Lord. And Manasaganga, Vajranab installed the deity of Chakaleshwar Mahadev. This is a very important deity. So important that Sanatan Goswami personally did his bhajan right by its side. Sanatan Goswami was chanting the holy names with such pure devotion, scrutinizingly studying the bhakti shastras, writing such books as Brihad Bhagavatamrita, always absorbed in kirtan, in prayer, every day performing the parikrama of Giriraj Govardhan. This was his life. Why did he choose that place on the banks of Manasiganga where Krishna would perform his boating pastimes with Sri Radharani? Especially because Sanatana Goswami had very, very deep love for Lord Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava. And that love was reciprocal. At that time, many mosquitoes, they were harassing Sanatan Goswami. Now, Sanatan Goswami and a pure Vaishnav, they are not disturbed simply because of their personal interests. They're considering their service. That these mosquitoes were disturbing Sanatan Goswami's devotional service. They were swarming around him and biting him constantly. So he decided, this is not a suitable place to write my literatures. This is not a suitable place to fix my mind in my devotional service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he decided he would leave that place. Now Lord Shiva as he's revealing in these verses, he loves the devotee so much. He considers it the ultimate benediction to have the association of a pure devotee. And here, he's in the association almost constantly with this great intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Sanatana Goswami. So when Sanatana Goswami decided to leave, this was very, very, very painful to Lord Shiva. He had to somehow or other devise a means of keeping him there. So he appeared in the form of a Brahmin in disguise. Goswamiji, you are going? Yes, too many mosquitoes. Mosquitoes create disturbance. It's like Srila Prabhupada. We heard from Kulaji Prabhu that he was massaging Prabhupada under mosquito net. And if there was one mosquito in that net, Prabhupada said, there's mosquito in the net. Don't kill him, but take him out. Now there was a problem. The room was pitch dark. And he's massaging Prabhupada under the mosquito net. And he didn't want to turn on the light. But how do you see a little mosquito under a net when there's no light? So somehow or other he was listening and like this. So Prabhupada simply lived to serve. And if somebody is creating a disturbance to devotional service, then we have to try to resolve that situation. So Sanatana Goswami was like that. Just as Prabhupada was writing books, Sanatana Goswami was writing books. Some things are more disturbing than mosquitoes even. So Sanatana Goswami was told by that Brahmin, just stay here one more night. Just one more night. If any mosquitoes disturbed you, then you go. But there will be no mosquitoes tonight, I promise. So Sanatana Goswami was so soft-hearted to satisfy that mysterious, unknown Brahmin. He said, yes, I will stay tonight. Devotees are willing to extend themselves so much to serve. So Lord Shiva called the demigod who supervises the affairs of all insects and ordered them, because he is Mahadev, he is the greatest of the devatas. He ordered, let no mosquito come to this part of Manasi Ganga. So that night, there wasn't a single mosquito, not a single sound of a mosquito. Sanatana Goswami could very, very comfortably do his translations, do his chanting, do his bhajan throughout the night, every night. So this is practical. Practical understanding of how Lord Shiva loves the association of the devotees. And great souls, they love the association of devotees and pray in this way for two reasons. One is because it is their heart. And two is they're revealing their heart so that we understand what is truly of value. According to the values that we hold sacred in our life, that will determine what is our destiny, how we will develop in our consciousness.
Therefore, reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam is very important. Srila Prabhupada ordered every morning Srimad Bhagavatam class in every temple. Every temple in the world, almost 400 temples. We all have something in common, many things, but one thing is, after Prabhupada's Guru Puja, everyone will sit down to hear the nectarine verses of Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss their significance. Srimad Bhagavatam Amaram Puranam. It is the spotless Purana because it deals only with pure unalloyed devotion. Story after story after story of pure devotees who, even in the face of the most difficult impediments, never deviate from their faithful service to Krishna, never hold anything more sacred and valuable than pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna. They live for love. That's all. That's what Bhagavatam is all about. Dharma prajita kaitavatra. So if we hear this in the association of people who believe it, people who are striving to live this principle, then it influences us with this value. Now, if we are listening to Srimad Bhagavatam from a professional reciter, or from someone whose ultimate conclusion is impersonalist, then the effect will not be there. Sanatana Goswami said, milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. That means who we hear from, their consciousness affects the message that they speak. If a karmakandi, a person who is desiring by worshiping Krishna or the demigods, if a person like that is desiring material benedictions, then when we hear from them, even if they're discussing the pastimes of Prahlad or the pastimes of Dhruva or the Ras Lila, their consciousness is very much like the poison of a snake goes into the milk. The Srimad Bhagavatam is pure milk. It is nectar. But whoever speaks, whatever they speak, their consciousness is also mixed into it. So therefore, when we hear from such persons, that influence of their consciousness enters into our heart. Similarly, if someone is a Mayavadi, many speakers of Bhagavatam's ultimate conclusion is Mayavad. Their ideal is to become God. So when we hear from them, even if we're devotees, we understand the proper conclusions, but when we're hearing from them, still, the effect of their consciousness is entering into our heart. Therefore, it is so very important to hear from pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada defines pure devotees in various ways, in various times. One explanation of a pure devotee is a person who has attained prema bhakti, a person who has achieved love of Krishna, whose consciousness is no longer affected by the three modes of material nature. Pure means without adulteration. That means the natural state of the soul is not in any way contaminated. That is pure. Prabhupada explains, to be purified means to be brought back to its natural state. Just like pure water means there's no contaminants in it.
To purify water, you don't put anything in the water, you just take everything else out of the water. Yes? So pure love, you don't put love in your heart, you just take everything else out, and then there's pure love. Because that is the essence, the nature of consciousness. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi. Prabhupada said this chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. It is not an artificial imposition of the mind. It is invoking our original consciousness. Our original consciousness is pure. It is to love Krishna. But now that consciousness has become so polluted by material designations, material attachments, material conceptions. So who is a pure devotee? That person who is in its natural state to love Krishna, like a lotus flower. Even in this material world where there are so many pollutants, there's so much envy and competition, so much immorality, so much selfishness, a pure devotee, because he's empowered by Krishna, because he's part and parcel of Krishna, he's manifesting Krishna's mercy in this world. Just like the sun is in contact with dirty things, but the sun never becomes contaminated. The sun purifies the dirty things. That is the power of the sun. That is the power of God. He is pavitra. He is all pure. And when a devotee becomes purified in his ideals or her motivations, then Krishna manifests his mercy through that devotee to purify the world. But Srila Prabhupada also explains that a pure devotee is a person whose ideal is pure devotional service. That personality may not yet be completely freed from the modes of material nature. That devotee still may have material contaminations. But that devotee understands what I want in life is pure and alloyed devotion. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktirutam. I want to serve Krishna favorably. I want to kick out fruitive desires, and I want to even kick out the desire for liberation and mystic powers. I do not want these things. I want pure, unalloyed love. I want to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan and completely absorb myself in the loving service of Krishna. That is my singular, exclusive goal in life. I may not be there, but that's my ideal. And I'm willing to follow the regulative principles of the spiritual master's instructions, and I'm willing to strive to attain that platform. To such a person, the only difference between his state or her state now and pure devotional service is just time. Because the right ideal and the right endeavor, with the right consciousness. So that is also a pure devotee, one who is striving for pure devotional service. Therefore, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say to his disciples, you are all pure devotees. From the point of view of a Mahabhagavat, he's seeing everyone. He's seeing the soul in everyone. He's not concerned with their material desires or attachments. He's not looking at Mahamaya. He's only looking at the soul. And he sees in essence everyone is a pure devotee. In essence, everyone is serving Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada was speaking from a philosophical point of view, not just from Mahabhagavat point of view. Because when devotees challenged him, Prabhupada, I'm not a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, your ideal is pure devotional service. You're following the regulative principles. You're chanting the holy names of Krishna according to your vows. And you're engaging throughout the day in Krishna's service. Therefore, you are living as a pure devotee, although you have not yet realized your pure devotion. So association of devotees is to strive to hear from and to give pleasure to those who have the great treasure of love of God. Narottam Das Thakur, in his prayers to the departed Vaishnavas, he prays in this way. He's beating his head against the rock in separation, longing for the association of those devotees who have that great treasure of prema bhakti within their hearts, within their lives, and who are distributing that the contents of that treasure to the world. He's longing for such association. Great souls are different than the impersonalists in this sense. Impersonalists, oftentimes their heart ultimately becomes hard. Somebody dies, aham brahmasmi. They have merged, very good. Huh? But a devotee, because he's always in consciousness of Krishna's personality, he's also always conscious of Krishna's associates and the merciful benediction of such associates. So here is Narottam Das Thakur, who is Narottam. He's the supreme best amongst all men. Lord Chaitanya gave him that name, knowing that he would be the best amongst the human beings. Narottam Thakur, when he was just a little boy, he had the darshan of Nityananda Prabhu. He had the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was given the love and the complexion of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya personally appeared to him, told him, leave home and come to Vrindavan. Such a great soul. And yet he's weeping and beating his head against rocks, figuratively, in separation from the devotees. Where is Sanatana Goswami? Where is Rupa Goswami? Where is Raghunath Das to be found? Where is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami? Where is Lokanath Goswami? Where is Srinivas Acharya? It is said that he wrote this song upon the disappearance of Srinivas Acharya, who was his dear friend, a Vaishnav. After Srinivas Acharya and Ramchandra Kaviraj left this world, Narottam Das Thakur, he couldn't bear being in this material universe without such great souls. It was unbearable. That is how much the great personalities value the association of Vaishnavas. And this is the mood of Lord Shiva. He's always eager for the association of devotees. He's teaching the prachetas, and he's teaching all aspiring devotees that this is the benediction we must pray for. Those persons who love Krishna, and also those persons who honestly and earnestly have made their goal of life to love Krishna, even they are so rare. Just a devotee who takes to Krishna consciousness with the proper mental disposition
that I accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I know the ultimate goal, the only purpose of life, is to love him and to serve him as the servant of the servant of the servant. And I know the only means in the age of Kali of attaining such a perfection is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So I have taken this as my life and soul. Anyone who has that value in their life, those persons are worshipable. Therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he prays that I take the dust of the feet of every devotee. Not only the great mahants, but also the new devotee who's just coming to the path of bhakti. That person who has understood that the mercy of the Lord is the ultimate goal of life. I worship that. To take the dust of the feet of someone is to worship that person. It's not just a custom to take the dust of the feet. To take the dust of the feet means you put yourself below the dust of the feet. You're putting it on your head. That means you are putting yourself below the feet of that person. Not only below the feet, but you're putting your head below what is below the feet of that person, which is dust. This is amazing. Devotees are so humble. They will not even approach the feet of a devotee directly. What to speak of approaching Krishna directly? What to speak of a devotee cannot even think of approaching a devotee directly. They won't even approach the feet of a devotee directly. But they approach the dust of the feet. That means that which is below the feet is where my head will be. This is worship. This is true worship. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he is praying. Even the new neophyte devotee who has accepted the process of Krishna consciousness with an earnest heart, I take the dust of his feet on my head. I long for his association also. Because in the association of devotees, will be the chanting of the holy names, will be the discussion of the teachings and the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. In the association of devotees is the love, the enthusiasm to serve the deity, enthusiasm to dance and to chant, enthusiasm to go to the holy dham of Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, to worship that place. In the association of devotees, we find Krishna. Real association is that, where devotees who have an understanding of Krishna's personal supreme feature, who value bhakti as the ultimate goal of life, they chant the holy names to achieve that bhakti. They hear about Krishna and discuss the pastimes of Krishna to achieve that bhakti. They engage their body, their mind, their words, their life in executing the service of the spiritual master to achieve that bhakti. They love to come to see the beautiful form of the deity to achieve that bhakti, to offer wonderful things to the deities, to serve one another. That is association of devotees. Association of devotees is not people with Kanti Mala and Tilak doing Prajalpa. That is not Sadhu Sangam. That is simply material association. What makes Sadhu Sangam is not just the people, but what is the medium in which we are relating to those people. Sadhu Sangha means to be hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, to be serving the Lord in the association of people who are genuinely striving to please Krishna. That is Sadhu Sangha. A few days ago, we were at Kumbh Mela. Govinda Prabhu and Shikshastakam Prabhu and Paramhams Prabhu. Together we were walking around for a few minutes and we came into one camp of sadhus. And there was about six or seven people gathered around this sadhu. We saw this group of people. They looked intense. They were just gathered around, kind of leaning forward. So I was thinking, he must be doing nice katha. Do you remember? He must be doing nice katha. So I wanted to appreciate, because it was within the Vaishnav camps of sadhus. So here these people were gathered around the sadhu and they were leaning forward, very excited, enthusiastic. I came closer and the sadhu was smoking ganja in chillum. And they were leaning forward because they wanted to get it next after him. They were passing it around. Hare Krishna. So this is not sadhu sangam. The man had shaved head, he had sika, yes. He had big kantimala and tilaks all over his body. But is that sadhu sangam? Not at all. And sometimes we see people very much, and then they're just criticizing other devotees, prajalpa, even Vaishnava aparad. That is not the association of devotees. Association of sadhu is those persons who love Krishna or whose goal in life is to love Krishna and who are acting and speaking favorably for that purpose. When Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Bhagavatam, everybody, all the sages, rishis, they all came to hear from him. That is sadhu sangam. When Srila Prabhupada came here to Bombay, he gave sadhu sangam to this people. At Cross Maidan, 30,000 people gathered in that tent. Prabhupada wasn't speaking politics. Prabhupada wasn't passing chillums around. Prabhupada was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was inducing his devotees to chant and dance and inviting everyone to join the Sankirtan of the holy name. Mahatsevam dwaram ahurava muktes tamodwaram yoshtita nashitant. This is Bhagavat. By associating with Mahat, by serving the great souls who are always speaking and singing the glories of Krishna, the doors to liberation are open. But to associate with people who have another purpose, another ideal, to associate with people, even if they have the right ideal, but they're doing the wrong things that are unfavorable, then the doors to the lower modes of bondage open wide in our life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked how to be Krishna conscious, he said, you associate with devotees. You associate with Vaishnavas. And you avoid the association of two kinds of people. One is non-devotees. And two is those who are too much attached to material sense gratification. Which indicates even a person who wants to be a devotee, but they're too much attached to sense gratification. If we want to make spiritual progress, we should respect every living being, but we should long for the association of good devotees.
devotees who have made Krishna's loving service their all in life. Or who devotees who want to make that their all in life. That is the path of perfection. We should long for that. When we're not in the association of devotees, we should cultivate a feeling of separation from them. We should be eager. Eagerness is an expression of the desire of our heart for Krishna. Krishna loves his devotees. When Krishna sees that you're eager to be with his devotees, eager to share your heart with his devotees, eager to serve his devotees, how much pleasure that eagerness is giving to Krishna. Prabhupada would say, love me, love my dog. Prabhupada said that is American parlance. Krishna madbhakta puja pirika, he spoke. Those who serve my devotees, those who love my devotees, they worship me the best. Because I love my devotees. Our spiritual advancement takes place according to the aspirations of our heart. As we have spoken many times before, quoting Srila Prabhupada, Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. If we really want to please the devotees, if we really want to hear from the devotees, if we really want to serve the devotees, chant and dance with the devotees, if that is the eagerness of our heart, how pleasing that sentiment is to Krishna, and he will reciprocate. Coming to the temple, seeing the deity, serving the deity, serving the Vaishnavas, that is devotional service. But even if you're home and you're longing in your heart to be here doing that, that is also devotional service. Why? Because it's pleasing to Krishna. Krishna's bhavagrahi. He accepts the sentiments of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada told the story of two people. One went to the satsang and was thinking about his friend being with a beautiful woman. And the friend was with a beautiful woman thinking, how nonsense I am. I should be at the satsang. Hare Krishna. So one is at the satsang, and his mind, he's sitting there. The katha's going on, but he's not listening to a word of it. He's thinking, I missed my chance. I could have been with that beautiful woman. And the other's with a beautiful woman, and he's thinking, I missed my chance. How abominable and disgraceful I am. I should have been at the satsang with the Vaishnavas. So who's at the satsang? It's a mystery. Ideally, we should be at the satsang and listening. But the moral of this story is that it's a state of our consciousness. And of course, our consciousness must be expressed through our actions. If we're at the temple and we're thinking in terms of this person's nonsense and this person's a rascal, I'm better than everybody else, then you're not at the temple. Your body is, but your consciousness is in the material world. But even if you're at work and you're thinking, God, I have to do this. How I long to see the beautiful form of Sri Radha Gopinath. They appear within the eye of your mind. And how I long to be with the devotees. How I'm eager to go to this satsang tonight. Govinda Prabhu is going to be speaking about the glories of the holy name, how I wish to be there tonight. Krishna's in your heart. He sees your desire. That pleases him.
So here Lord Shiva is revealing his heart for the world. How those who love Krishna love his devotees and consider it the greatest benediction to serve the devotees.
Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, in regards to association of devotees, sometimes we are in this confusion when we are practicing devotional service. We see that other devotees, if they are not following certain standards and we are following certain standards, usually rather than accommodating their behavior, we try to criticize them. Or they are not doing as much as I am doing. Then in the name of accommodating, we compromise, we minimize our standard. So both way we are at, you know, we lose. You know, we either criticize or we minimize in the name of accommodating. So how to see that we don't minimize our standard and don't be critical?
The service attitude. If you have a service attitude, that will automatically harmonize all apparent contradictions. If you have an enjoying attitude, an egoistic attitude, that will create disunity. It will corrupt the proper attitude. So if you have a service attitude, you're living by high standards, it's your service to the Vaishnavas to maintain the highest possible standards. And if somebody else is not maintaining such a high standard, to criticize them, your standard's gone. Give up your false nonsense ego. As soon as you criticize them, you're no longer in a high standard. You're just a rascal. Huh? I'm high standard. I'm chanting 16 rounds. I'm following the four regulative principles. I'm 24 hours a day engaged in the service of Guru and Krishna. But this person works a job, has a wife. Huh. As soon as you think that of them, you've lost your standard. As soon as you think ill of a Vaishnav, your standard's gone. Huh? That's a reality. Krishna sees your intentions. Trinadapi sunichena tarori vasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is what Krishna is looking. How are you offering respect to others and not expecting for oneself? How are you humble and tolerant? If you're in a mood of service, you won't judge people. You'll try to help people. By the grace of Guru and Krishna, somehow or other, I'm allowed to live on this standard. I could fall down at any moment, but somehow or other, I'm allowed to live on this standard. How many stories there are? Innumerable stories of people who are very strict, very surrendered, and they make judgments and criticize others for certain things, and what happens? Ultimately, they end up in the same position of what they're criticizing. Why is he doing like this? If you say it in a judgmental way, it's just a matter of time till you're also doing like that. We've seen it so many times. It's very easy to point out the defects in others. But generally, when you point out the defects of others, if you do it in a service mood to help the person with humility, then you'll make spiritual advancement by that process. But if you say it in a judgmental mood, the reaction will be you will be doing the same thing that you're criticizing. Hare Krishna. I'll never forget when the whole community of New Vrindavan told me I must take sannyas, and I said, I refuse. And they all were in a meeting trying to preach to me, to convince me. And one devotee was so heavy, so heavy. He said, if you don't take sannyas, then you're fallen. Worse than if you take sannyas and fall. You'll be more fallen if you don't take sannyas. I never read this in the scriptures, but this is what he was telling me. So I said, well, why don't you take sannyas then? He said, because I'm not being ordered to take sannyas. You are. Hare Krishna. He preached to me in a very judgmental way. Anyways, ultimately, I tried to take sannyas to surrender to the will of the Vaishnavas. But a couple years later, he was ordered to take sannyas. And he left Krishna consciousness and never came back. Hare Krishna. It is a fact. When you make a judgment to somewhere else, you're falling down from your standards through that process. And you're going to be put in that same type of situation because Krishna is going to make you live up to your words. That is a fact. So see the good in the devotees. See that somehow or other, by Krishna's blessings and mercy, I'm given this wonderful opportunity of serving in so many ways. And try to be a good example and try to preach to that devotee to uplift them. That's service attitude. To those who are in a superior position to you, you serve them by listening to them, by hearing from them, by carrying out their desires. For those who are your peers, you serve them by developing intimate affection and relationships in your service to protect one another from Maya. And for those who are in a lesser position of active devotional service, you serve them by lovingly be a good example for them, by speaking and acting in such a way that they'll be uplifted. If you compromise your standards for them, you're not serving them. That's a disservice. And if you criticize them or judge them, that's a disservice. So if we actually understand what it means to serve, you'll never make offenses. If you actually understand what it means to serve, if you have a proper service attitude, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anu Das, then you'll always be making spiritual advancement and you'll always be doing the best service to others. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
When we try to extend ourselves to serve devotees, sometimes our health goes down or sometimes sadhana goes down. So how can we extend ourselves and maintain our sadhana and health?
Say louder. Say in the microphone.
When we want to extend ourselves to serve devotees, our sadhana goes down or health goes down. So how can we extend in such a way that our health also remains quite fit to serve devotees more and our sadhana also remains?
You must utilize the intelligence that Lord Krishna gives you. Real service is not only now, but in the future. We want to serve them today, and we want to serve the Vaishnavas for the rest of our life. So therefore, we have to balance. If your sadhana goes down, then you're not really going to be able to give quality service to them. So it's a disservice to them by extending yourself if you're not performing your sadhana properly. It's a disservice because the quality of the service that you're giving will be less, and your future of serving the Vaishnavas becomes very much uncertain. Yes? If people are drowning, you have to learn to swim. If you go in any airplane, they have the same announcement in every airplane internationally that if there is a reduction of oxygen, the oxygen masks fall out of some compartment. If you have a small child, first put it on yourself, then your child. That's a law. You have to put it on yourself first and then the child. Why? Because if you go to put it on your child, you may die before you even reach your child. If you put it on yourself, you'll have the strength to save your child. That is a fact. If we're not getting enough rest, the mind becomes disturbed. We're not able to qualitatively serve the Vaishnavas. So we must orchestrate our life so we get enough rest. That's a service to them. May be a little less today, but it'll be better quality today, and it will ensure high quality for all your life to come. If you compromise your sadhana over a period of time, then the quality of your service will reduce, and you may not even be around. Everybody will be having to look, searching and looking in the dark corners of material existence to try to find you. Is that a service? What do you say? If you don't perform your sadhana, you fall down. In a fallen state, how will you serve others? We want to be spiritually strong, not only for our own salvation. We want to be spiritually strong because the stronger we are, the more we can do for others. That is intelligence. Certain emergency situations, we may have to give up some rest and our sadhana may not be so good. If that's the order of the spiritual master, if that's the emergency need, we're willing to do it. But if that becomes something regular, then we are in very, very, very dangerous situation. Emergencies are rare. Yes? Hare Krishna. Actually, I must go because it is Giriraj Swami's Vyas Puja in Juhu, and I will have to go there. One more question, and then.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
If we go to Vrindavan, can we visit Lord Shiva temples, Bhuteshwar, Kamsa, Gopeshwar, Nandeshwar, Mahadev, with the spirit to get devotion, for the getting the bhakti from Krishna, asking from them?
Please. Please.
Thank you very much. Similarly, if we went to the Badrinath, there we wanted to go Kedarnath, so people say that you are in ISKCON, you cannot go there. Is it so?
Kedarnath?
We went,
Madhva Sampradaya, they will not go to Kedarnath. But many people of Gaudiya Sampradaya, which is a branch of Madhva Sampradaya, go to Kedarnath. So I'm just telling you the facts.
Vrindavan, we can go to Lord Shiva temples.
Yes, yes. The Madhva Sampradaya will go to every Shiva temple in India to worship except Kedarnath.
Thank you.
The reason is esoteric. Because they believe that's the place where Bhima was minimized. Huh? It's not that they're against Shiva. They worship Shiva. They'll go to Kashi Vishwanath. They'll go to Shiva Kanchi. They'll go to Gopeshwar Mahadev. But they won't go to Kedarnath. Why? Because Bhima was minimized in that place. And the Madhvacharya people, they believe that Madhvacharya is a avatar of Bhima. Harivo, they are of the same tattva. But many Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they go. So you have your free will. But Vrindavan, everyone go. Please. That is our ultimate destination, Vrindavan. And all of our acharyas worshipped Gopeshwar Mahadev, Bhuteshwar Mahadev, Kameshwar Mahadev, Chakaleshwar Mahadev. And how do we worship? We beg Lord Shiva for pure unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna. We beg Lord Krishna to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. And Lord Shiva, there is no benediction he likes to give better than that. Everyone else, they ask for benedictions, and he gives it as a business policy. He doesn't like to give it. But when we asked for the eternal loving service of Sri Radha Gopinath, then from the innermost core of his heart, he is pleased to give you that benediction. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.